Simon. Well, we're at our very last, very last week on our series, the ABCD of discipleship. And of course, you've all remembered exactly what the ABCD is, haven't you? Okay. So for those who may be new and don't know what it is, because all the rest of us have got it seeking deep down in our soul, I did say God was trying to work on my sarcasm, didn't I? So we started off with A, which is assume that God wants to use you. And what I want you to come away with is the assumption that God is always calling us to be people on mission. That God always delights in wanting to use us for us to be his hands and feet in this world. And if you remember rightly, I said that this is not God's afterthought. This is God's main plan to bring about his kingdom in this world. And even when he wanted to bring about his kingdom, he came as a human being to show us what God's like and then given us the mission of showing other people what God's like. And we've got to have an assumption that in our every moment of every day is an opportunity for God to use us in some way. So we've got to assume that God wants to use us. And we can have all kinds of excuses like we don't think we're good enough, we don't think we've got a great enough theology. And really they are just excuses. Because God can use the most broken, the most disheartened, the struggling person, just as much as he can use anybody else. And God wants to use you. So assume that he wants to use you. Look out for how he could use you. That was A. B was, and Simon has already alluded to this, believe that God is bigger. I can't tell you how many times that I've sat down with people and they've shared their worries with me and I go, well, do you not believe that God is bigger than the situation that you're facing? Is God bigger than your health? Is God bigger than that financial worry that you have? Is God bigger than what's going on in your kids' lives or your parents' lives or that friend that you so want to stay in relationship with but they're making it very difficult? Is not God bigger? And can we not call on the name of the Lord and ask him to step in and be a part of what's going on? And so I wanted to encourage you to believe that God is bigger and that God's got you and God is for you and God hears you and to invite him in to all those messy situations in your life. And last week we went to C, which is cultivate intimacy with God, and really that's just encouraging us to continue to build our relationship with God, continue to develop our intimacy with God, because throughout that intimacy, God speaks to us, God guides us, God works in us and through us. And today we come to the last one, which is D, which is developing others around you. And you might think, well, that's a little bit different from the rest of them, Barry. Why do you do that? Well, I put this one here because God doesn't want us to stay the same. God just does not want us to stay the same. God wants you to develop and grow. He doesn't want you to be the same person as when you gave your life to him back 4, 5, 20, be further on for some of you, years ago. That God's whole desire is to grow you to become more like him, to develop your gifts and your skills, to develop your confidence, to develop what you've got going on inside of you so that you can be more like Jesus. He doesn't want you to stay stuck. He doesn't want you to stay unhealthy. He doesn't want you to stay in sin. He doesn't want you to stay where you are. He wants you to grow. He wants you to flourish. And so his very nature is to develop us. And so our very nature should be to develop others around us. And we've all had the joy, have we not, at some time in our life of someone investing in us. Someone looking at us and say, you've got something that I think we can do something with. That you've got a skill, a gift, a personality type that they see something in. And when they look at you and when they invest energy and time into you, it makes you feel pretty good. I remember that when I was growing up, I felt particularly average at everything. And I was just amazed that someone would come alongside of me and say, you know what, I see a spark of God in you and I'm going to invest in you. I see that God's doing something in you, and even before I could see it, they could see it and they started to speak faith and life into me. And that's what I do when God points people out to me. Don't worry, it's not all the time. So if I ask to see you, it's not always going to be about this. I asked to see three people during the week from last week's service, and each one of them messaged me and said, am I in trouble? You people are crazy. Anyway, and which of course not. But I'll just tell you straight then if you're in trouble. I won't mask it. All right. But we love it when people see something in it and value us in some way, don't we? And it's not just within the church. It's in every area of the life. If someone comes up to you at work and says, you've been doing really well in here, but I think you've got potential to grow in it, doesn't that boost our confidence and our enthusiasm for the work that we're doing? Doesn't when someone says that you're a great parent and want you to become even a better parent, doesn't that encourage us in some way if it's done in a loving and encouraging way? But we're not the only ones to do this. I mean, my kids went through district basketball and they had a system of developing people all the way through. And if you've been a part of a sporting club, you will know that they'll take children from 8 years old and they will develop them as much as they can in their gifts and skills. I was a Boy Scout, and they were always about developing me as a leader and as a person. But somewhere along the line, I think in the church, we've lost that call, or we've stagnated that call to develop each other and to speak into each other's lives and to want people to grow. Jesus said it very clearly as he gave the Great Commission, and it's from Matthew 28, and this is what it says. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee and on the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when he saw him, when they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. I love that. I don't know about you, but I love that. Like, here are his disciples. They had witnessed everything that he did in his life. He had invested time in them. They saw him die. They saw him alive again. They hanged out with him. And then at the moment when he was about to go back into heaven, still some had doubts. You know, if you were making this up, you wouldn't put that line in there. So some had doubts and said, well, what is this Jesus still on about? And so Jesus clarifies. And then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. That means God has placed everything other than himself under the feet of Jesus. Everything has to come under his name. And as Christians, that's how we can come boldly to people and pray for people, because we're not doing it in our own spirituality. We're doing it through the authority in the name of Jesus Christ, because everything comes under him. And so when we pray for people, because we want to see them grow, we want to see them develop, or we want to see something removed out of their lives. We do so not in our own strength or in our own will, but we come under the authority and the name of Jesus Christ. And in the name of Jesus Christ, things move. Your prayers are only effective because everything under heaven and earth comes under Jesus. He says, so therefore, knowing that I have everything comes under my name and knowing that you are mine, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. See that? Teaching them all, everything that I have commanded you. You see, God is calling us always to teach and to develop those around us. He sees it as a priority in ministry. When you are about to leave, you say the most important things that you need to say. So if you're about to go away and never see anyone again, you're going to tell them the most important things that you need to tell them. If you are speaking to someone who is at the end of their life, you speak to the most important things that you need to speak. And so Jesus speaks here the most important things that he needs to speak, and that is we as his followers and as his companions need to be people who teach and disciple each other in the name of God. And Jesus gives us a great outlining of this as we read through the Gospels together. We see that Jesus has been on that journey from the very time the Holy Spirit came upon him as he came out of the waters of Jordan. He gathered around him groups of people and he developed them. He had three groups of people. He had the three, Peter, James, and John, and he took them to places that he didn't take the rest of them. It was Peter, James, and John that he took up to the mountain, and only they saw him transfigure in the light and see the glory of God come through him. Remember that story? It was Peter, James, and John that Jesus would take up into the upper room and they would see him raise a young girl from the dead. That Jesus wanted to develop something in Peter, James, and John that he didn't want to develop in the others. Not because they were less important, but because Jesus had seen something in Peter, James, and John that he wanted to develop further than the others. And then, of course, he had the other nine around him, the 12 disciples, that he took with him everywhere. They lived with him 24/7. They saw him do the miracles. They saw him perform the acts that he did. It was to those disciples that he came along and he called them to himself and says, you know what? Some of you are fishermen and I know that you get how to fish, but I'm going to give you a vision of how to fish for people. And he gave them a greater vision of what they were currently in, and then he taught them how to fish for people. And so we see in the Gospels that Jesus outworks the 12 and he sends them out and he goes, look, take no bag, take no cloak, take no money. I just want you to go out to the neighboring towns and proclaim the kingdom of God. And by the way, I'm going to give you in the authority of my name to heal some sick and to cast out some demons. Off you go. And so off they go. And one of the Gospels has, I think it's Luke, has a report of them coming back. They're going, Jesus, it's amazing. We healed the sick. The demons came out. It was amazing. Our needs were met. This is phenomenal. And I can just imagine Jesus going, yeah, I know. It's pretty cool, isn't it? Because Jesus wanted to develop them. And Jesus knew that he couldn't develop them fully unless he released them to go and do it without him. You know, it's the 12 where there's 5,000 people gathered, and it's late at night, and Jesus says to the 12, you know what, you've got to feed these people. And they look at each other and go, what is Jesus on about? He goes, Jesus, don't you know that there's 5,000 men, never alone women and children, all here? How do you expect us to feed them? And Jesus goes, okay, watch this. Give me what you got, and let's see what God will do. See, all the way through Jesus' ministry, he's discipling the 3, he's discipling the 12, he's discipling the 72, that's the next group. There's another story in the Gospels that he doesn't just send out the 12, he then sends out the 72. It's the 72 plus that are sitting on the mount and listening to Jesus' teaching in the whole of Matthew 5, 6 and 7. Because Jesus wants to get them and develop their understanding of the kingdom of God. And he wants to see them grow and to change and to make a difference in this world. And it's Jesus, when Peter says, Lord, can I come out on the water with you? He goes, you know what, you can. Come on out. All these actions that we see Jesus taking in the Gospels are intentional. Intentional in Jesus' eyes to see his disciples grow. We have it in a habit in the church to believe that people are going to get discipleship by osmosis. Do you know what osmosis is? I can't describe it to you if you don't, so look it up when you get home. That somehow we're just going to absorb it by hanging around in a worship service. But that's not how discipleship works. When we develop others, it needs to be intentional. It needs to be us wanting to invest and develop another person's life. Because as Christians, we're not called just to be disciples. We're called to make disciples. We're called not just to help people, but we're called to develop people. That's why as a church, you know, we have many helping agencies, but we've lost our way in a minute because we help them, but we don't help them actually discover and develop beyond where they are. So we'll give them food and say, God bless you, be on your way, but we don't teach them and develop them how God wants them to move out of poverty into flourishing. We can say to people, okay, you've got a sickness, we're really sorry about that, but when we want to develop people, we want to lay our hands on them and say, God, move in their life and do something different. God wants us to be making disciples all the time. And making disciples starts really when people don't know God, all the way through to the end of your life. My first discipleship experience is when a friend invited me to fish and chips on the beach. And I met this crazy bunch of Christians. They were nuts. But the girls were pretty, so I stayed. They loved life in a way that I hadn't experienced before. They invited me to a prayer meeting, and they prayed, and I didn't even know what prayer was. Never done it in my life before. And I just sat in this circle of about 15 young people around my age, and some of them were praying to God in English and some of them were praying to God in something else, and I don't know what it was back then. And I was just looking around this circle going, oh my goodness, what have I got myself into? What am I doing here? But right there, they started to model to me and disciple me that there is a God who hears their prayers. And a God who wants them to grow. And they started to model that to me until 3 months later when I gave my life to Christ. And God wants us to be about modeling and discipling other people. It can start at evangelism and it moves all the way through. How we live, how we breathe, how we connect with God matters to those who yet know God. So I want to ask you this morning, what are you doing in your life to intentionally disciple or teach others? How are you helping others discover all that God has for them? Because whether you're a single person, whether you're a parent, whether you're a grandparent, God has people for you to disciple. Even the Old Testament knew this to be true, because in the Proverbs it encourages parents to disciple their children. It says this in Proverbs 22:6. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. We've got to claim that for our kids. But it's basically saying, develop your kids. Don't leave it to Sunday school. Don't leave it to the educational facility that you send them to. Pray for them every night. Pray with them every night. When you're battling with a decision about what God is asking you to do, bring your kids in and get them to pray with you. One of the most powerful things that Kelly and I did when we first got into ordained ministry is we had to decide where God was calling us to our very first church. And so we decided that we had to bring our kids in on this discussion. Not really because to be honest, what they thought wasn't going to matter at all. But we wanted to bring them in on the discussion, and we wanted to bring them in on the prayer. And my son particularly, he was 13 at the time. He was involved in a youth group at the church that Kelly and I came to faith in. It had a youth group of 50 kids. It was massive. And we knew that where God was sending us, we were lucky to have three. You know? And so we gathered them together and we said, we want you to pray with us about this. And so we had conversations with churches and they'll go, no, Dad, I don't think that one's the right one. It doesn't have a big enough youth group. I said, settle down, son. It's okay. But we taught them in that period of time the fact that our will doesn't supersede God's will. Our desire doesn't supersede God's desire. And where God wanted to send us was where God wanted to send us. And a part of the reason why our kids continue to grow and develop in their faith is because we invited them into the mess, if you like, or the decision-making of what God was trying to do in our lives. And if you're a parent of a child here today and they're still under your covering, bring them into your decisions. If you're struggling financially, bring them in and say, you know what, kids? Money's tight, but we're going to pray to a God who's bigger and we're going to see what God does. You know? And when time comes tough for them, they're going to come to you and go, there's a situation, Dad or Mum, that I don't know how to deal with. Can you pray with me? We've got to develop our children. We've got to develop those around us. When I was a young Christian in the 90s, there was a leadership guru in the church called John Maxwell. And John Maxwell said that a leader's job was to always do themselves out of a job. And that's always stuck with me, because really it gives emphasis to this that we should always be developing people. We should always be raising people up. We should always be discipling them and encouraging them. Because ultimately God doesn't keep us in the same place. He didn't keep his disciples in the same place. When you read the Gospels, Jesus encouraged them. He corrected them. He rebuked them. and he pushed them beyond where they wanted to go, all so that they could learn and grow and discover that God is good, that God is bigger, that God wants to use them, and how to be intimate with him. He did this by demonstrating it by how he lived, by showing his character in different circumstances, some of it very hostile. And he did it by showing his compassion for those who had no compassion for him. Jesus gives us an example that we are to develop others. I remember having a conversation with a lay preacher in the church, and he was kind of lamenting to me that his lack of opportunity and also the fact that there were some younger preachers coming up and taking his spot. And I remember the conversation clearly, and I'm not always wise in those conversations because there's something in me that just wants to slap people around the side of the head. But maybe this day I was a little bit wiser, and I said to him, "When did you start preaching?" He said, "I started preaching when I was 17 years old." I said, "How old are you now?" He says, "I'm 73. And then I said to him, "So how many young preachers have you released into ministry in those 60 years? And he said, "None." It's God telling me it's time to finish. And to that, my heart breaks. Because here was a man who I believe was a gifted preacher, but had not seen the need and the desire to birth anybody else into the gift that he had been given. So we need to see the value of intentionally developing others around us. We need to show it by our example. We need to be able to look at people and say, "I see something in you. I want to develop you." And I can tell you that there is nothing more precious than someone coming up to you and saying, "I believe you're gifted and I want to work with you to be the best that you can be." We need to make space for others to grow and to fail. I don't know about you, but I've never known an artist who their very first painting was amazing. I've never known a musician, the first time they picked up an instrument, to them to bring out amazing sounds, other than maybe Zach. I've never known a preacher who got up and preached an amazing first sermon. Never known a worship leader to stand up and get it right their very first time. I've never known anyone to do anything. Just think of the first time you drove a car. Well, the first time. But somehow in the church, we kind of think that people have to be somewhere before we give them opportunity. And I want to tell you that as your minister, I want to give people opportunity before they're great at it, so that they can be great at it. And I think we need to give space for people to grow, and particularly for people to fail. So this is not something extra that is mandated. It's something necessary to develop others. So who are you developing? Are you doing it intentionally? And are you making room for people to grow? Seek God and ask him who you can develop around you. Let's pray. Our loving God, we thank you that you call us not to be the same, that you're always calling us to grow and to move and to breathe. Help us to throw off the things that hinder us, and help us, Lord, to be your people who are used by you to teach and develop others around us. Lord, none of us, all of us have something to give to others around us. So, Lord, bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.